from the department correctional services. Let me apologize about time. We're supposed to start here at about 10. But because of other commitments around this building, Parliament, they called us to start at the time. I'm apologizing that we have projects like this today. And also, before we start, I think let's observe a moment of silence and of prayer. And for this, we think also acknowledge that there was an accident from the powerful members of the department here in Baltimore, the Western Cape, who died, I think, last week. Then I think we also include them in this prayer session. Can we stand up and observe? Thank you. May their souls be saved. To welcome the department. All members are here, most welcome. As I said, so that we are promoted today. So you are most welcome. All members, I think all of you have got an agenda in front of you. Don't want to waste time. Therefore, I'll ask one of the members that can you adopt the agenda as it is, or if you want to add anything, can you adopt the one here on our book?
Thank you, Jamu, for the opportunity to ask you this question.
Any second? Thank you, Honourable Chair. Without wasting time, we are in apologies. Let's see, we have an apology.
And you change the question, was McQueen will not be able to attend the
But there's also an apology from the Minister of Justice. Also, we have been using some. Let me take this opportunity and give it to hand over to the department by briefing us, this committee, on the department strategy plan, annual performance plan, and budget allocation.
Honourable Chairperson and the members, for us as well, I wanted to attend today's sitting meeting. We would like as well to acknowledge the fact that the committee also observed the accident that occurred at the Bethel Jump the field last week at Florida. And we appreciate the moment of silence. Chairperson, my name is Zakaria Mutisa and I'm the acting national commissioner. And the last time I was here, I was in that position as well. But today I have.
Sorry. You remind me something. But not everybody is here. Can I ask the honorable members before you start to introduce you? Start from me.
You have one of them, Chairperson.
I'm Raul Chalizandi. I'm from the committee. Hear you from the permanent delegate.
Thank you.
morning. My name is Mervyn Chetty from Angelicus, KZN.
Morning, Chair. My name is Jihad Mohammadi, also a delegate from the First State.
Good morning, everyone. Zahar Julius, President Delegate from Gauteng and member of the Scottish.
Anyone? Okay.
My name is Dumisani Tuli, Permanent Delegate from the West End Cape, Chairperson of the Committee. On my right is the Committee Secretary, Goshen, led from the advisor. Framework for planning, the
part A will focus on our vision, mission, and part B will look at the performance element, C will outline our linkages to other plans, and then focus on the current annual performance plan. In terms of the strategic overview, as a department, we are driven by legislation in terms of the work that we do, as well as the policy mandate. Central to our mandate is the constitution, then we've got specific pieces of progressive legislation that drives our business, as well as other policy mandates. In terms of the situation analysis, we are actually covering three key areas. Looking in the performance environment of the organization, which is centered around the white paper on corrections, white paper on demand, the national development plan, as well as the mission for the program. We also look at activities and issues that are actually transpiring in our organizational environment, particularly on issues related to human resources, as well as the third critical element where we describe our strategic planning process. We have had number of engagements with both Minister and Deputy Minister in terms of what needs to be in our plan. We also made sure that we engage with all the prescribed pieces of legislation and outcomes that are planned by the current administration. I also need to indicate that we have for the very first time included the judicial inspectorate as part and parcel of our threat test. In terms of the organizational environment, we have issues related to staffing, issues related to IT, issues related to finance and procurement, the organizational structure, as well as the whole educational system. We ensure that all plans are linked to the 14 outcomes of current administration and national development plan. This diagram clearly indicates the flow of our planning. The first element is that we get our mandate from the election manifesto. In terms of the five key areas identified, we are directly contributing to area number five, which is to fight against crime and corruption. And in terms of the 14 outcomes, we are particularly contributing as part of the JCPS other departments to outcome number 3, which is what people in South Africa are in field case. In terms of this particular outcome 3, we've got specific sub-outcomes. And these sub-outcomes actually forms what we call the midterm strategic framework. So as a department, we are contributing 3 indicators that falls under the mission strategic framework. The first one is actually, the purpose of the indicator is to make sure that we reduce the level of contact crime and also ensuring that we contribute towards reducing recurrence, repeat offending or recidivism. So those three indicators, the first one is to ensure that 80%, in which we're targeting it for 2019, of sentence offenders are subjected to correctional programs. 85% of the 2019 target of parolees without parole violations, as well as 85% by 2019 of all probationers without violations. So this is what we contribute in terms of our mission strategic framework. And then in terms of our focus in particular as the JCPS cluster department, we are focusing on specifically 2 critical chapters of the National Development Plan, which is chapter 12 as well as chapter 14. I also need to indicate that in terms of the work that we do, we are actually significantly contributing to a number of outcomes as outlined in the 14 outcomes, and that I'll be able to share with you as we get to the other slide. This is the linkage in terms of our outcomes. LDPS, of course, we provide education to our inmates, and therefore we contribute to outcome number 1, which is quality of basic education, which is chapter 9 in the National Development Plan. We also ensure that those who are in our care are provided with everyone actually linking to that first term number 2 and 1. In terms of our core outcome, in terms which is outcome number 3, of course, we're ensuring that we're contributing towards ensuring that all people in South Africa are in good state. And then we've got specific indicators that talks to this particular outcome. And then in terms of outcome number 5, that deals with skilled and capable workforce to support an inclusive growth path, we have specific indicators that talk about our commitment to improving the capability of our officials, which in turn they will improve the capability of the public service. And then in terms of outcome 1 and 2, that talks to an effective and efficient and developmental oriented public sector. We've got specific HR targets that talk to that particular outcome. In terms of outcome, well, that was outcome 12. In terms of outcome 11, that is creating a better South Africa, a better Africa and a better world, we are operationally contributing to activities that are taking place at a continental level in terms of various organizations that we as a country, we as a department representing a country are participating in. For example, ACSA and other bilateral engagements that we have with various countries across the continent. In terms of our contribution to nation building and social cohesion, we have specific indicators, two indicators that talks to, particularly those indicators that talks to our social reintegration activities. As I said earlier, we have three indicators that are reflected in our mid-term strategic framework, and I've already spoken about those indicators. We've got specific targets in terms of how we're going to achieve this from the current financial year up until the end of this administration. Our strategic outcome-oriented goals are still the same. They talk to three core elements of our business. The first one is centered around ensuring that remand detention processes are effectively managed by ensuring remand detainees assess costs as determined by relevant legislation. So this outcome one talks to our remand detention branch and everything else that is planned around the branch remand detention is aimed at achieving this particular strategic goal one. Strategic goal two talks to our branch B, which is incarceration and correction, and the purpose of this outcome is to ensure that all sentenced offenders are being incarcerated in safe, secure, and humane facilities and are provided with health care needs. So whatever that is sitting under this particular branch talks to what the strategic outcome-oriented goal wants to achieve. The third one is the last element of our value chain, which is social reintegration, and its strategic outcome-oriented goal is to ensure that offenders, parolees, and professionals are successfully reintegrated back into society as law-abiding citizens. And everything else is aimed at ensuring that we achieve this particular strategic objective. We have a logic model. Logic model is in the business environment, it's called a business model. It is what is driving the organization. Our logic model is very clear. It's to ensure that it talks to the outcome, which is ensuring that all people in South Africa are in good state. And then we've got three immediate outcomes that talks to specific business branches that I spoke to earlier. As a department, in terms of our structure, we have five programs. The program one is administration, two is incarceration, three is rehabilitation, four is care, and five is social reintegration. In terms of the administration, the purpose of this program is to provide strategic leadership, management, and support to the department. The program two is incarceration and correction, to provide appropriate services and well-maintained physical infrastructure that supports safe and secure conditions of detention consistent with maintaining the human dignity of inmates, personnel, and the public. In this program, we also provide for the profiling of inmates and the compilation of need-based correctional sentence plans and inmate administration and intervention. The program 3 focuses mainly on offenders with need-based programs and interventions to facilitate their rehab and enable their social reintegration. Program 4 is based on care services, need-based care services, and maintaining well-being of inmates in the department, those are in our custody. And the last one is social reintegration. This is a program that focuses or provides services focused on offenders preparing for release, the effective supervision of offenders placed under the system of community correction, and the participation of reintegration into their community. I am not going to go through this, but as I said, the people is this, the purpose of administration is outlined here. This slide just gives an indication of what the service objectives, the deadline, and justification. Under incarceration is the same issue. Maybe what I need to reflect under program 1 is that there are sub-programs that fall under this program, which is Ministry of Finance, Internal Audit, Management, Corporate Services, Office Administration, as well as Residential Accommodation. Program 2, sub-program under this program is Security Operations, Offender Management, Remand Detainees, Remand Detention, as well as Facilities. Program 3, Rehabilitation. We have sub-programs that are correctional programs, offender development, psychological, social, and spiritual services. Under care program, we have sub-program nutritional services, health services, hygienic services. The last program, social reintegration, we have parole administration, supervision, community reintegration, office accommodation, as well as community correction. Our link to other plans talks to number of related plans. So the third plan, our annual plan, then we've got those that are related to our triple fees, as well as the long-term infrastructure and other capital plans. Number of GCS performance indicators for the current financial year is sitting in our annual performance plan. Under administration, we have 5 strategic plan indicators and 9 ATP indicators. Incarceration, we have a total of 8 indicators. Under rehabilitation, a total of 7. Under care, a total of 5. Social integration, a total of 7. So in total, we have 41 indicators for the current financial year. We also need to share with the committee about what is qualitative and quantitative performance indicators. Most of our indicators are measured in percentage. They have projected numerator and denominator that is aimed at measuring their performance. For an example, the indicator on escape has a numerator. That is the actual recorded number of inmates who escaped from custody of the department, and the denominator, the projected inmate population for the current financial year. So it was prudent for us to be able to extend this, because as and when we go through our plan, there will be those indicators that will be measuring quantitatively, as well as those that will be measuring qualitatively. I'm not going to get into those specific points, but I'm getting straight into performance indicators for program 1. Under program administration, sub-program management, we have indicators in the third plan as follows. Percentage of surveyed people rating correctional services performance quotient. That is sitting in our strategy for the next 5 years. And for the current financial year, what we'll be measuring is the integrated, we'll ensure that there's an integrated communication and marketing strategy that should be developed and implemented. The second one will be ensuring that we measure the percentage of officials found guilty of corrupt activities in the next remaining year of the MTSS period. In the current financial year, we are measuring percentage of finalized legal cases that are successfully defended by the department. The stress test, we are measuring percentage of correctional facilities and community correction officers, COEIM, which is integrated in the management system, as well as land infrastructure rollout. And for the current financial year, we will be managing percentage of server and VOIP infrastructure rollout to correctional centers and community correction officers, as well as measuring the percentage of security VPN upgrades to correctional centers. The last indicator under management is an indicator from JIC, or Judicial Inspectorate. We will be measuring for the remaining year of this current administration the performance, the percentage of correctional facilities, including trouble teams that are inspected on conditions and treatment of inmates. And then in terms of the annual performance plan, this will be measuring percentage of unnatural death reports received from the department, analyzed, and feedback provided to stakeholders within 30 days. And the corporate services sub-program, we will be measuring the current financial, I mean, for the next few years of the current administration, the percentage of funded calls filled per financial year. We're also under the annual performance plan focusing on the number of officials that are trained in line with the work skills plan, as well as the percentage of management areas where employment, integrated employment, health and welfare, I mean, and wellness is rolled out. Under finance, we'll be measuring for the next remaining years percentage of allocated budget spent per year. And annually, we'll be also measuring the number of audit qualifications. Under program two, which is incarceration, we have four sub-programs. Under sub-program one, which is security operations, for the next year, we will be measuring the percentage of inmates who escape from correctional and remand detention facilities, as well as percentage of inmates killed as a result of reported assault in correctional and remand detention facilities. Now, the current financial year, we are measuring percentage of unnatural deaths in correctional and remand detention facilities per year. Under facility sub-program, for the next remaining years, we will be measuring a number of new bed spaces that we create through construction of new facilities. Current financial year, we will be measuring the number of new bed spaces created by upgrading of facilities on an annual basis. Remand detention sub-program, for the next remaining years of this administration, we will be measuring operational policies that are aligned with the white paper on remand, ensuring that there is implementation and monitored in those facilities. In the current annual performance plan, we will be measuring percentage of remand detention facilities where continuous risk assessment is rolled out. In terms of offender management, we have a strategic plan indicator, which is percentage of overcrowding in correctional centers and remand detention facilities in excess of approved capacity. This indicator, we have it at an operational level, not at an ATP level. It's something that we do on a continuous basis, and we are managing it at an operational level. Hence, it's not reflected here. Program three, which is rehabilitation, we have three sub-programs under rehabilitation. The first one is correctional programs. Under correctional programs, the strategic plan indicator. For the next many years, we will be measuring percentage of sentence offenders that are subjected to correctional programs per year. And then GIFT has like the previous one is an operational indicator that we're currently managing it at an operational level. Offender development, for the next remaining years, we will be measuring number of offenders who participate in educational programs with per daily attendance register of the academic year. And then in the APP, this is a new indicator that we have actually put in place. We are currently, in this current financial year, going to measure the grade 12 pass rate obtained on an annual basis. Under offender development as well, we are going to percentage of offenders who participate in skills development programs measured against the list of offenders registered for participation as per enrollment. We are managing this at an operational level. And under psychological and social and spiritual services, in our strategic plan, we have percentage of incarcerated offenders and those sentenced to correctional supervision who are involved in social work services per year. Now, in terms of the annual performance plan, we are managing percentage of inmates who are involved in psychological services on an annual basis, as well as those inmates who benefit from spiritual services per year. Under care program, we've got three sub-programs. The first one is healthcare services. Under the strategic plan for the next years, we will be managing percentage of inmates that are on antiretroviral therapy. And on an annual basis, we will be measuring the percentage of those inmates who are tested for HIV who know they are AIDS. In terms of TB, we will be the new preliminary cure rate of offenders. We are going to be managing it as it's stated in our third plan for the next year, and we are managing it operationally in our centers. Nutritional services, we do not have a specific plan indicator, but at an APP level, we are managing percentage of therapeutic diets that are prescribed for inmates. In terms of hygiene services, we do not have a certain indicator, but we have an APP, or annual performance indicator, that manages a number of management areas with contracted healthcare waste services. The last program, which is program 5, social reintegration, we have 4 sub-programs. The first one is parole administration. Here, for the remaining years of this administration, we will be managing percentage of offenders, profiles submitted by the CMCs that were considered by the CSPS. We do not have the APP target. We are running this at an operational level. Under supervision sub-program, we will be managing the percentage of parolees that are without violation, as well as percentage of probationers without violation. You will realize that these are some of the indicators that are sitting in our midterm study framework. In terms of the community reintegration, for our third plan, we have a target that manages or that target to deal with number of victims or offenders, parolees, and probationers who participated in restorative justice programs. And for the current financial year, we will be measuring percentage of parolees and probationers that are reintegrated back into communities through halfway house partnerships. Office accommodation, we have an APP target, which is measuring the number of new service points established in community correction. In terms of our performance indicators as outlined in our stress plan as well as the in the APP for the current financial year, I have already indicated the program purpose of various programs including this one. I'm not going to go through it. I'm not going to go through the finances. The CFO will do that. I'm not going to explain the program, sub-program management as it's defined. All I want to share with the committee is the following. under administration. Under administration, the four indicators that we have under our program management as outlined are reflected in our plan. The first one I'm going to talk about is the improvement of the image and overall performance rating of the department. This is the communication indicator. I'm just going to share with the committee the baseline. The current baseline we're sitting at 44.25%, which means that 1,552 over 3,510. That's the baseline that we actually worked with from the previous information that we received. And the performance indicator that we have for this is to ensure that percentage of surveyed people rating professional services performance positively increases from 44.25% as a baseline, and we are targeting to reach 56% in 2019 and 2020. So that is our strategic target, as our 5-year target, moving from 44 to 56. I am not going to go through the justification. I will move in terms of what is currently sitting on the plan. The objective, as I said, is to improve the image and overall performance rating of the department. The indicator is to look at those surveyed who are rating our department positively. And as I said, we are targeting 66% for the next 4 years. And we are breaking it down. The estimated performance of the previous financial year, we are staying around 44%. We'll get this information as soon as we finalize our annual report. But the indication is that for the next 4 years, we will be moving from the baseline, which is 44 estimated performance, to 49%, 54, as well as 59%. The second one is the integrated communication and marketing strategy. This is what is sitting in our sitting in our APT. The understanding is that by this end of the financial year, the previous financial year, we have an approved fifth-term integrated communication and marketing strategy with the phase program of action. So we'll have both phase one, phase two, and phase three. I'm going to move to the next one, which is percentage of officials for guilty of corruption. Our target is 94% for the remaining part of the financial year, and the breakdown of that, or the cumulative approach to the result for 15 current year, we're expecting a performance of 92%, and cumulatively it will move to 93% for the first 2 years, and then 94% in the year 17 and 18. Another indicator is percentage of finalized legal cases that are successfully defended by the department. It's a new indicator. We don't have baseline information, but what we are planning to achieve is that for the next year, in the subsequent year, we'll have it at 75%, and we take it from the outcome of the third year, which will be 78%. The next indicator that is under sub-program management is percentage of correctional facilities and correction services where integrated management systems and land infrastructure is rolled. Our target for the end of the administration is that 100% of our correctional facilities and correction offices should be connected and integrated. Our plan is that for the previous financial year, there was supposed to be procurement and configuration of integration of offender of the system, and then that was going to be broken down in terms of the subsequent years from 25, 15, 75 percent respectively. In terms of, so I'm not going to, because the first one has explained the entire thing, I'm not going to go through the VOP and the VPN. This indicator is the, as I said earlier, is a new indicator that comes from the Judicial Inspectorate. The performance indicator is that they want to increase the percentage of correctional facilities and suitable fees that are inspected on conditions and shipment of inmates. And the target is by 2019-20, it must be 100% compliant, which means all the 245 centers should have been inspected. The breakdown in terms of achieving this indicator is that for the next, for the current financial, for the previous financial year, the expected performance was 42, but because they haven't covered all the indicators, they're going to be basically breaking down this indicator into the 3% respectively, because the intention is that they're working on a clear plan of action that normally is rolled out for coverage of all the centers in a 3-year period. Hence, we'll see the percentage being 33%, 3% for the first 2 financial years, then 64%. In terms of the next indicator, percentage of unnatural deaths report, the sub-program corporate services, which we refer to as HR, we have a indicator that talks to percentage of funded whole field per financial year. The target for 2019-2020 is that 98% of all the funded vacant positions should be filled. And the breakdown towards achieving this is based on the estimated performance, which currently is 98% for the previous financial year. And therefore, it will be an indicator that needs to be maintained. The vacancy rate should be maintained at 98% continuously for the next remaining years. In terms of the indicator of number of officials trained, in line with the work skills plan, the current performance estimation is 16,500. And there will be an increase from 18,150, 19,950, and 21,962 for the following year. In terms of percentage of management areas where IEHW is rolled out, there will also be an estimated performance of 21, and next year it will be the maintenance of that. Then it will be the 15.2. And from there, we have to get to a point where we identify the new program performance indicator. The sub-program finance. The performance indicator is that we need to have the percentage of allocated budget spent per year. And the identified target is that 99.7% of our total allocation of budget should be spent. And how we'll do that, the estimated performance for the 2013-2014, that was actually the baseline, was 99.75, and we want to maintain that throughout the remaining financial year. And a program in preparation, we have security operations. And under that, the strategic performance indicator that talks to the security, I mean, to this sub-program, is the percentage of inmates who escape from correctional and remand detention facilities a year. What we are saying is that we want to maintain or reduce our SQPs and maintain it at 0.022%. meaning that we at least want to have less than 35 out of the 16,861. How we do this, we'll have a decrease in terms of the, for the current financial, I mean, for the previous financial year, the estimated performance 0.206, and then we want to take it down to 0.025, 0.024, and 0.023 for the next remaining year. The same goes to those inmates who are injured as a result of recorded assault in our center. We also want to reduce it. The estimated performance is going to be 4.1, and we are going to reducing it to 3.9, 3.7, and 3.5 respectively for all the coming years. Same goes to a natural death. We are going to reduce that to 0.034, 0.033, and 0.032. perspective. Under facilities, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, we do have an indicator that talks to number of new bed spaces that are created through construction of new facilities. For the next couple of years remaining, we are targeting to create 2,500 new facilities. And in terms of how we will roll that one out, is that because this is still a built environment, we are unfortunately guided by the processes as outlined in the Department of Public Works and then in the construction industry. But our intention is that by 2016-2017, we should be having 500 additional more bed spaces that are created through construction of new facilities. In terms of remand detention, the performance indicator for the strategic for the years that are remaining in this current administration is that we have to ensure that operational policies are aligned with the white paper on remand detention in Africa, and we implement and monitor those in all remand detention facilities. These are operational policies that are supposed to be implemented and monitored throughout the country in those respective remand detention facilities. So in terms of the rollout for the next financial year, the current performance indicator is that end of the financial year we would be having the final draft of the prison procedure manual. Then the next current financial year to the next 3 years we'll have a full policy on remand detention. Then the next year we'll implement and monitor, as well as continuous implementation and monitoring of policy. The other indicator is the percentage of remand detention facilities where there is continuous risk assessment, which is supposed to be rolled out. We don't have a performance estimate for the current financial year because it's a new indicator, but our intention is to roll out the continuous risk assessment for the next 3 years, increasing from 14% year one, 43% year two and three. And the program of offender management, the strategic performance indicator here is we will be measuring the percentage of overcrowding in correctional centers and remand detention facilities that are in excess of approved capacity. And we have targeted that by the year 2019-20, we have 35% of those. And in terms of the estimated performance from the previous financial year, we are expecting 29% performance, and we are going to increase that with a 2% from the current financial year, which is 31%, then we increase to 32% and then 3% in respective NGF period. In terms of rehabilitation, under rehabilitation we've got an indicator that talks to percentage of sentenced offenders that are subjected to correctional programs a year. And we are targeting 80% by 2019, which means 81,000 of those of 101 should actually be subjected to correctional programs. How will achieve that? The estimated performance for the current financial year will be sitting at 64, and then we want to increase from 64 to 68 for the next financial year in the 2 years, increasing to 72 and 76% respectively. I will also focus on the number of offenders who participate in educational programs, the daily attendance register per academic year. And those are offenders that are participating in adult education and training and SETs. Our target is that by 2019, we need to be having 16,115 offenders that participate in AET programs, as well as 802 that participate in the FET mandatory. As well as the other thing is the percentage of offenders who participate in skills development programs that are measured against the list of offenders registered for participation at the enrollment register. The target for 2019-20 is to have 80% of those offenders that have to attend to or be able to attend the skills development program. How we will do this in terms of skills training, expected performance 80%, and we would want to continuously maintain the 80% of those who are qualifying. And those that are into the TVE qualities, we thinking that we will maintain, we'll have 80%, and we would want to maintain the 80% throughout the financial, the coming financial year. In terms of our program, psychological, social, and spiritual services, we have an indicator that talks to the percentage of incarcerated offenders and those sentenced to correctional supervision who are involved in social work services per year. Our target for 1920 is 76%. How we will achieve this, the estimated performance in the previous financial year is 57%, and our intention is to increase this for the next financial year, for the current financial year and the next many years to 67% in the first 2 years, and then increase it to 77%. Under program care, we are having a performance indicator that talks to the percentage of inmates who are HIV positive and that are on antiretroviral therapy. The target is that we want to reach 98% of those. And those, we're also targeting to deal with TB, especially the new pulmonary cure rate of offenders. The target for 2019-20 is to achieve 85% of that. How we'll get there in terms of the antiretroviral therapy, we're expecting to perform, based on the previous year performance, at 95%, and our intention is to increase it to 96% currently, and the following years, 97 and 98, respectively. Same goes to TB, the new pulmonary cure rate of offenders, expecting 80% achievement, and then currently we want to move it to 85, then maintain it at 85 for the remaining
sub-program and a nutritional services sub-program. We are planning to, the intention is that our achievement would probably be at 10%, and then we are planning to increase that for the current financial year to 15% and maintaining it for the next financial year. Percentage of therapeutic diets that are prepared for inmates, we are also expecting to annual target. This is just for 10%. In terms of hygienic services, what we are planning to achieve in the next remaining year is to have a number of management areas with contracted healthcare waste services, and then we would like to maintain 6 respectively for the next financial year. Now the last program, which is social reintegration. Under social reintegration, the performance indicator that we have is that we need to ensure that percentage of offender profiles that are submitted by CNCs that were considered by the CSVP. Our target is to have it at 95% by the end of 2019-2020 financial year. How we do that? The estimated performance for the previous financial year is 95, for the current financial year, we want to increase it, we want to put it at 89%, 87%, 29%, and 71%. The strategic indicator on percentage of parolees without violation per annum, as well as probationers without violation per annum. In terms of parolees, our target for 1920 is 97%, and probationers is also 97%. And we will be able to reach this 97% because the estimated performance currently 94, this year we want to increase it to 95, and increase it for the next 2 years to 96 and 97 respectively. The same as probationers without violations per annum. Our intention is to, the estimated performance is 92%. We would like to, or we are going to increase it to 94. In the current financial year, 95 and 96 respectively. For the next year. The percentage of persons under the system of community correction who are on electronic monitor. The estimated performance in the previous financial year is 288 persons under the system of electronic monitor. And our plan is that for the current financial year, we want to move to 1.3%, meaning it has to be 1,000 of the 782, 782, 21, and then we increase it to 1.42%. As well as the next financial year at 1.64%. In terms of a sub-program community reintegration, the indication here is number of victims offended, parolees and probationers who participated in restorative justice processes. That is our VOMs and VOGs. Our target is that we want to reach 18,000 victims or offenders, as well as 103, 725 parolees and probation.
how we reach that. The estimated performance for the previous financial year is 2018, and then 23,921 offenders. Now, in terms of victims, we want to increase it for the current financial year from 2,000 to 6,000, increasing to 9,000 the following year, and the next other year will be 12,000. And for offenders, we will be increasing it based on the current performance of 23,921. We want to increase it to 76,985, 83,363, as well as 90,279. Now the last sub-program, which is office accommodation, and here our estimated performance for the current, for the previous financial year is 12, and what we want to achieve by the end of 2018 is 31. So we have 18 more established for the current financial year. The next financial year will be 22 and 31 respectively. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The situation is here. I think the honorable members. Thank you very much. It's not a one. Thank you for it. Thank you. Certain members, will do the presentation on the estimate of national expenditure.
Services
and we ask the gentleman in the kitchen to really contract on our behalf and also bring the department for the services that they treat the different contractor. And with regards to the other allocations in the baseline, which we have explicitly appropriated figures for the rehabilitation of the infrastructure and the maintenance and the rock amounting to $172 million, increasing to $169 million the outer year, and for the infrastructure planning program, it is an amount of $703 million, increasing to $267 million in the outer year. As indicated, we have as indicated to reprioritize given the current economic outlook that we are currently facing as a country, that the Minister of Finance in his under appropriation last year and also when he tabled the budget in February this year indicated. So we had to prioritize for funding of critical aspects and also for ensuring that we are sustaining the inflation adjustment. And members would know that in the department, if you look at certain rhythms in our operations, they are always far beyond the normal inflation adjustment that is for the country and the world for the country. Mainly, our cost pressures when it comes to inflation adjustments are around the food inflation, and also the pharmaceutical services. So for those aspects, for the NTS guidelines that we should have shared with all government departments are explicitly indicating to that if for whatever reason any item in the baseline when it comes to inflation adjustment, the realization of inflation adjustment is beyond what has been provided for in the NTS, then departments must fund within their own program. So as a department, we continuously have to carry the major items from all parts of the country. And in doing so, we have been to reprioritize the policy. If you look at the increases in the baseline, they are nominal. It's not real for something nominal. So basically, the cabinet said around October that they approached the budget cut for the year specifically that have indicated the 177 million to 245 million. From the baseline and we had to then reduce mainly under volunteer services and a small portion of the compensation of employees and also under machinery and equipment for the services in the MTEF. We then indicate to the committee on slide 6 the figures over the 2015 MTEF after we have effected the baseline. The cuts as approved by cabinet. We then indicate the allocation between the new now to balance to the reduced budget of the baseline per program and also the economic classification. I will then briefly go to per program. If you look at program administration, it is indicated that basically we take up the administration of the department and support services that are offered to the department and there are certain centralized services like the GITO. In terms of allocation, so we will be under the office, but still under program administration. At the end of September, we had a final case establishment of 176 votes that were indicated in our ENPS tables in February. And over the medium term, we are expecting to spend about 11.8 billion, which is about 80.41%
Head office,
you say it's like 5.6 billion out of the 26 billion. And they are, as I've indicated, in their centralized funds that are in Genesis. And part of the centralized funds goes to the specific appropriated allocation and also earmarked funding for the divorce funds from the BWP. And also the allocation for the contract of the two facilities is centrally allocated. So if you look at the 5.6 billion, there's an amount of about 3.7 billion that is centralized funds that is allocated under HELOC. And then indicate the different allocations to each region. I'm not going to very much share this, just remember we have that. We then indicate the allocation for all regions in the information application on slide 17. And under personnel, the funding establishment of the department that will be obtained from the current NGF because 2006 process. And it's just in the number of 2,673 vacancies that was taken to the GNA due to the national association and the recruitment processes during those. And in September, we're carrying 1,126 posts additional to the establishment for the officials that have finished training in the two colleges and are then appointed on contract, and also for contract holders that are dealing with asset management in the department. So over the NGF, the allocation will be stabilized at that level. On slide 19, we indicate the cost drivers, one being the 42,000 equivalent, and on the side of inmate terrorist probation, even indicate to the committee the figure that will be analyzed moving from 2014-15 as a base, and for the 2015-18. In total, the average total in use is 855,000 as a base for 2015. But projecting to the number to increase to 166,744 in the outer year of the NTEF, and the average total parole and supervision caseloads, we're looking at a base of 72,796,450, projecting to increase that figure to 92,077 in the outer year of the NTEF. So these are figures that we utilize in when we're crafting the government projecting. But normally, more or less, you can vary between what you utilize to project and also what you then exploit either over or under. And the arrangement currently and the agreement with National Treasury, it is only when those figures vary significantly that you approach the aspect for additional funding, given the old cost challenge. But if it varies, it's either under or over. Either party does not surrender and either party will not take from the baseline. So if this figure a reasonable variance of 5%, Treasury will not then say bring back to the fiscal because the numbers have gone down by whatever variance. Same as from our side, if those numbers reasonably so grown to that margin, we're not going to approach the fiscal with the power system. But if significantly there is then reduction, the Treasury may engage for reduction of baseline, or if significantly there is a variance that is positive with regard to the increase in the numbers of inmates or the average cases when it comes to supervision cases, then only in that instance will we then approach the fiscal for additional funding. It does put some pressure to see a direct cost of operating the facility that we need to constantly bear in the department. So that is a pressure that we are experiencing, and given also the cuts, it does make our life more easier, but we choose to in the end constantly and tightly monitor the expenditure that we do in the program and over the different sub-programs in the department. We then indicate on slide 20 of the numbers, the allocation per program, per sub-program, and per economic classification, which is like 2021, the different programs, apprenticeship programs, social reintegration, the different allocations during 2014 as a base, and also indicating per financial year how much each program will be getting, and also the economic
research. It's a food store research.
But the one I remember will, I think, can have clarity to the department. How much do you remember? Thank you, Honorable Masari.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I have a few questions over here. The first one is with regards to intergovernmental relations. The relationship between the department and the Department of Public Works. I have experienced that during oversight, some of the correctional facilities might have problems with specific issues regarding the buildings and so on, which fall within the duties of the Department of Public Works. To what extent does the department experience those problems? The second is based on a reply I recently got from the minister. The question I based also on oversight was, especially in the Free State, I don't know about the other provinces, but there's a great problem regarding uniforms for both inmates and the staff of the correctional department. Some of those staff members actually have to go out and buy their own shoes. They haven't received uniforms for almost 5 years, and in the reply that I got from the minister, they said that the budget, unfortunately, would be insufficient in certain places for the next few years. What are the department's plans to ensure that at least your staff members are treated with dignity in that regard? As well as, I can throw in over there, other resources such as mattresses, etc. The question covered that as well. Unfortunately, they said the budget would be insufficient. What are your plans in that regard? Then, if I read it correctly, there's a reduction, a slight reduction in the rehabilitation program budget. Why is that reduction, if I read it correctly? My next question is with regards to cell phones and general smuggling, but specifically cell phones in prison. And I've asked this question to the minister twice, and I've seen that there is talk of possibly getting cell phone jammers at the prisons. Now, in February, there was an article in the newspapers. Commissioner Zakaria, actually, I think you commented in that article where they specifically said that you are waiting for the approval of ICASA to go ahead with the implementation of this. I would firstly like to know how far are you with receiving an answer from ICASA, and secondly, is there budgeted in this specific year? If you get the positive reply, is there enough money in this budget to actually make work thereof? Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Let me just welcome the report and the presentation. It is just crazy to take the picture. So my, under administration, the finance raised the issue of the budget cuts and the variation. If we forget the institution that they are not sure that there's some cuts on the budget. Whereas themselves on their side, they are challenges of spending certain budget. Mine, I want to raise it under the turnaround time for filling the vacant post. I hear that the opposition said the target is 28% of vacant position. Whereas 2013-2014 financial year, because the target was 97, it's the only 1% increase of the last financial year, the target. And the department managed to reach 56.9%. So now you have treated one person, your target of those victim position. That's what I'm going to request them that take into consideration, including the critical things that need to be built. And even the senior management, the acting, get a view there for some time. Will the department be able to provide you the details then? How will you be able to realize this 98%, the slight shift from 97% to 98%, whereas last year they only managed to realize 66%. So can they provide that growth with versus the budget? Taking into consideration that there's only slight increase on the compensation of the budget of their compensation. So I will go to with regards to the rehabilitation, and I think maybe I want to enrich what the honorable president has raised earlier on. And the target of 80% of what we whereas we have noted in their budget for 2 consecutive years, they be understanding by department with under the program of rehabilitation. To us, it is critical under the NDP because of the rehabilitation goes hand in hand with the things and not being present the criminal elements in our society. To realize that the goals and objectives of the NDP, the rehabilitation program is critical for us, for the department to be able to ensure that the offenders are not able to offend. So what steps will be able to ensure that it will not reoccur for those 2 consecutive years not utilizing the budget? The underspending was about 48 million. We noted that in your presentation, this current financial year is a cut under the rehabilitation. So with that cut, we'll be able to realize the budget and ensuring that you're going to implement the rehabilitation to the last, and to be able to assist us to realize that our community in state, the offenders are rehabilitated when they go back to the society, and they will be skilled to be able to ensure that they can be able to play politically active to our society. The last one said, with regards to the ministerial task team of non-payment of the overtime, the OSD issues, can the department be able to provide us with the current situation of those outstanding issues that was realized to ensure that the task team was set up to be able to confront it? I remember last year when the department was here, we raised the issue of OSD and overtime, but now we want to know what is the progress of that. Thank you.
Have now established a task team. agreement as well as the plan of action that we will then be finalizing. The chief is meeting here today that is led by the TDG in the office of the Minister of National Department of Public Works. We have had serious challenges, Chairperson, with the completion of particular projects like finalized or like one place. And now a project of Zanin, where service provider, the contractor, has now been liquidated and is able to go forward with the job. That Public Works has indicated that they will engage the guarantor for him or her to conclude that work. So we, it is true, we have problems, but our provider. Then the other part of the question talks in uniform, Chairperson. It is so that we have been having a challenge in the provision of uniform to officials and offenders. And at least with offenders, because we now have material, we are busy in our workshops to manufacture that uniform. But with regard to uniform for officials, Mr. Mukwena and the former APC shall inform the committee as what are the steps that they put in place to ensure that they provide uniform to officials. Our concern mainly is with offenders. There are places where we don't have jerseys. There are places where we don't have shoes for offenders. And that is why we are speeding up the position thereof to put particular workshops where offenders themselves will be tailoring those uniforms to ensure that for this winter we shall be able to provide jerseys and shoes. Lastly, on the sales force from my side, Chairperson and members, we do have a serious problem of the smuggling of cell phones in almost all of our facilities, especially our urban correctional centers where we have the metal phones. And the fact of the matter is, Chairperson, cell phones are being smuggled daily into our facilities. Others are brought in by our staff, others are brought in by visitors to our facilities. And others, as offenders, come in and go out of the facility, they smuggle the cell phones, they hide them in their bodies, and it is still a difficulty to put X-ray scanners at our entrances so that we are able to detect the smuggling of cell phones. However, at all of our new facilities that we are currently building, we have put in a cell phone detection system so that if you utilize that cell phone, we can, with precision, say this cell phone has been used in a cell where we can easily then get hold of that cell phone. I think the work on the counter asked the CDC Chito maybe to explain what's needed for the counter and respond fully to that question with regard to how far we are and whether we will be able to do that in this current financial year. I'm going to request that in the order, CDC Mugwena, CDC Kronberger, the CFO, to respond to the question and clarity that the committee has requested. And then CDC Machibela to give us on the reintegration.
Follow up, Chair? Yeah, sorry, Chairman. I just heard the director saying they have started manufacturing some of these offenders coding. I just want to start, did you put aside allocation for that? And in our take is that, when we took over the country, Chair, very sorry to be controversial, correctional services was hidden at they were manufacturing these uniforms themselves. What happened? Thank you.
Yes, sir. Let me ask Mr. Smallbender to provide a full response.
The Chair, Acting Commissioner, other honorable members, let me start with the last follow-up question.
Chairperson, I can, without any hesitation, inform the committee that we are currently providing more offender uniform than ever before in the Ministry of Correctional Services. We, as the National Commissioner indicated, the challenge that we have now is, as the explanation by Ms. Mareka, based on the economical climate where we have received in certain parts of the budget reduced amounts, and where we are dealing with offended uniform check, we are dealing with processable material and the amount that the department received is slightly lesser than previous years. This was identified and already submitted to the CFO, where the CFO already directed during the first quarterly fund shift that matter will receive attention. And in terms of the workshops chair, where we have workshops for offenders manufacturing uniform, that is basically all uniforms as well as lately the remand detention uniforms, they are manufacturing that. It's that only the challenge that we have immediately is, as the acting national commissioner indicated, is with jerseys of offenders. There's a special project plan to address the jerseys. Currently we have mainly two workshops where they are manufacturing the jerseys, and we are in the process to see how can we relocate some of that work to make sure that we have enough uniform for offenders, Chair. Chair, I don't want to go into the final details, but I think it's safe to say that shoes are being manufactured at Witbank, and the other uniforms, Chair, stemming from the uniform they wear during the day, the night uniform, the jerseys, is allocated across the country, and certain workshops are focusing on certain of those areas, Chair, and where we have a shortage, as I was saying, Chair, we already established that, and that information is available, and I think during the first budget committee meeting of the department for the new financial year, I'm convinced that it will be addressed appropriately during that session. Chair, in terms of the question on rehabilitation, Chair, I think there's two questions in this regard. Chair, the first one is the non-spending, which will be more adequately explained by CFO and the human resource. Safe to say, Chair, that under rehabilitation, the biggest portion of the underspending is the compensation of employees. And then we know, Chair, as a principle, under the rehabilitation program, you find there basically your psychologist, your social workers, your educators, your chaplains, and artisans. And I think from the presentation, and which will be highlighted also by Mr. Mokwena, is that those areas is where we have the highest level of vacancies and the challenges that we have with those, Chair. But Chair, in terms of the programs that are running, I can assure the members the targets as put forward by the two presentations, we will, Chair, and I put my neck on the block, will achieve those targets, and irrespective of the spending patterns, Chair. Chair, maybe I can also, whilst I'm talking about the rehabilitation, just touch on the area of this, and I think in the previous presentation in 2014 July, we also just highlighted, Chair, but maybe I can just elaborate more. Chair, in terms of rehabilitation, what we see on the budget program is basically only the areas of psychologists, social workers, chaplains, as well as educators and the artisans. But the other supporting areas, Chair, for rehabilitation, and I want to refer there firstly to our agreement with the Department of Basic Education. Their assistance in the education of offenders are not reflected in the budget because it's an MOU. Chair, our relationship with NGOs Again, Chair, we are not paying NGOs, we accredited their programs and they are playing a role, so that is also not visible in terms of what we see in the financial figures in front of us, Chair. Chair, also, there's also, Chair, many officials in correctional services that are assisting and rendering programs. For example, all the correctional programs, Chair, that are being provided to offenders, and it's about 64% of the offenders who receive those programs per annum, Chair, is being provided by persons that are not reflected under the rehabilitation program, meaning that it's custodial officials that we are training to convey the correctional programs, which is non-therapeutical programs, which is addressing offender behavior. So I think that perspective needs to be added, because what the eye is seeing on the rehabilitation is not the only part that goes into the rehabilitation. Chair, I will pause there for now. Thank you, Chair.
what are we doing about that? The minister has identified HR in the main as this area of focus during his tenure. We have prepared a proposal for the minister that he will be making major announcements during his budget speech. And out of respect to the minister, I will not necessarily go into that. Safe to say that the minister, for want of a better expression, will be calling upon the state of emergency as far as recruitment is concerned within the department. We tried to decentralize recruitment within the region, and unfortunately, it's one of those decisions that we took a year ago that we may have to now review, looking at the progress that we have registered in this regard. I can also share that on the 10th of May, this past weekend, we advertised the learnership. Last year, we did not recruit for learners due to financial constraints. But a decision that we've taken also to plug in the gaps is that through the learnership that we've advertised this past Sunday, is that we'll be targeting a total of 3,096 learners. So using one intake, we will basically be recruiting three tranches, because our colleges can only accept 1,032. So if you were going to use that one intake to then attract three intakes, also to ensure that our colleges, because the learners spend 3 months at a particular given time in the college. Now, if you don't have the colleges constantly being busy and having learners there, you actually then have trainers that essentially are almost bordering on being redundant. So through that learnership, and that learnership, I must point out, Chairperson and members of the committee, has actually helped us in more ways than one to ensure that at least at entry level we are able to plug the gap. Because the difference with us and other government departments is that when the learners complete the learnership program, we retain them on contract, which would also explain the high number of over and above the establishment numbers of contracts that we have. That is largely accounted to by us employing contracts with learners on contract, so that when vacancies occur at each and every region, they are then, based on how they performed during the selection process, they are then absorbed into the vacant position. I can also say that in respect of the professionals, we are looking at a number of solutions in that regard. One of those is to consider flexible contracts. Of course, we need to engage DPSA in that regard. Flexible contracts where professionals in your pharmacists, your social workers, your psychologists have been very difficult to accept to the department. But also what assesses the challenge is the issue of job hopping, where you will employ a professional today, and tomorrow another department will advertise for that job, and a person will then use that position that they have to then negotiate and bargain for another, for a higher increase. Now, the one way of dealing with professionals is to then consider flexible working arrangements where you bring them on board, but they are as independent contractors, but they are not employed within the department. So they come in, you give them an allocation to say, you, as a psychologist, you shall see X number of people, and you work out a payment arrangement so that at the end of the day, they come in, they do you, they assist you with their services, and at the end, you then pay them. But of course, we need to engage with DPSA in that regard, because in essence, we'll be introducing a new employment relationship. Well, they would actually not we know that we will be striking the very fine line between compulsory work and people that are on flexible working contracts, because these are people that would actually have their own private practices, come in and render the service. Now, it also sounds like a very difficult pill to swallow, but the question that one has to ask is to say, versus a social, not having social work at all, and therefore negatively impacting on the rehabilitation progress, would it be best bitter pill to swallow, but somewhat a pill that you still have to swallow, because ultimately, if we don't have the social workers and psychology, then we have a problem that in essence, your rehabilitation part, somewhere there is a bottleneck and people cannot leave. But of course, this is something that we can't now say it's a finalized decision, because we still need to engage DPSA in that regard. Last year when we appeared for the committee, I did report that we had given to a tune of about 5.4 million salaries to social workers. Now, regrettably, and we were asking for a permission from DPSA to say these people that were internal staff members were given salaries. Upon completion, a person would be earning, let's say, 200,000 per annum. But the entry level of a social work salary level would start at 150. Now, what we were asking DPSA to say is give us the permission to maintain their salaries, not to increase, but just to maintain them. And unfortunately, the response we have received, and in part, one does have to understand where DPSA also comes in. Because DPSA, if you do that, essentially you're going to cause discontent as well within the existing social workers who would be earning lower than these newly qualified social workers, so who are then expected, of course, to train them. So it's something that we've had to live with, to say the 5.4 million that we have spent, we would have to essentially write it off. But going forward, our boundary conditions must be so strict that if a person is asking for a boundary, the terms and conditions will have to apply that if you apply for a boundary and you happen to be earning lower or higher than the entry level of the new career that you've chosen, you have to live with it. We can't maintain your current salary. The other challenge that we've experienced, Chairperson, and we're engaging DPSA, is around our salaries that we offer these professionals. They are not attractive if one looks at the what is the market paying for social workers, because these are defined as critical and scarce across the country. Now, of course, one has to make these engagements with DPSA, bearing in mind the ballooning wage fee. We are currently engaged with wage negotiations. And one of the concerns that government has, of course, is that the wage bill is running away. And if you are going to now start giving more money to these professionals, what does it do to your overall wage bill as government? But we may have to come to a point where we are saying, perhaps because these are professionals, we'll ring-fence them and have special dispensation for them. But of course, we do have to say, as government department, work in collaboration such that social workers, professional or overall professionals, do not job hop between government departments, because that does not ultimately help all of us as fraternal government departments. Let me see the other opening questions. On the issue of OSD, we have established a task team that comprises of DPSA, Treasury, and ourselves. We have reached an in-principle agreement to settle the matter with organized labor. The directive we have received from both Treasury and DPSA is that, and I do need to indicate to the members that we are looking at, if we settle this matter, we are looking at anything between 1 to 3 billion. Because this is about recognition of experience. Now, if one person, if a member, for every 5 years, a member will then be eligible for one notch increase. Now, that notch increase currently is calculated at 3%. Now, if you look at a person that has spent 20 years in service, as that period, you are looking in the region, a very conservative estimate, in the region of four notch increases at 3% each, which would be quite substantial. Now, some of the conversations, unfortunately, you know, these are conversations that are still ongoing. We had a meeting this week still with the MTT, and we're exploring options. And some of those options would be to say, do we perhaps not be at 3% and maybe reduce it? But the agreement that we've reached with organized labor, I can report that once we have agreed on the actual percentage to be paid, we will then have to ring-fence that amount of money such that if you say when you receive a letter from DCS acknowledging that through OSD, second phase of OSD, you are owed this amount of money, that is an amount of money which will be ring-fenced and shall not attract interest going forward. So that we will then have to pay it. The other agreement is that we will have to pay it over tranches because we do not have between 1 and 3 billion currently within the budget. But the directive from DPSA is that we have to find that money within our own budget allocation. We are not going to get any money from Treasury, let alone DPSA. What we are also saying with organized labor is that the proposal on the table right now, and this is something that is part of the ongoing negotiation, that we will buy the overtime dispute if we settle the OSD. So that's the proposal we put on the table to say the overtime issue also is affecting close more than a billion. Now, our proposal to organize labor is that if we settle the OSD matter, can we then include the overtime matter and basically buy it off? In other words, we don't have to find another billion. It's a negotiation technique, members. But it's something that organized labor are also alive to, say this thing is ongoing, and in fact they are also responsible for that dispute and our overtime. But I do have to say, members, and throw a caution on the table that these are ongoing negotiations, and it's something that has to be treated in the strict sense of confidence. This organized labor accused me of negotiating in the select group.
Thank you. Honourable member, that is then after that, according to that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, members. The negotiation was, or the discussions was in Tanzania. They referred us to the Government Gazette of 24123 of November 2002. So I will read it as is in the Gazette. The findings of the Council were that no organization is allowed to gain cellular signals, and any device which used to gain signals is illegal. The Council expressly found that security council departments, such as Defense, the Office of Correctional Services, could not use jammers as they had alternative legislation to support other means of security. Hence, we all search for using cell phone detection rather than cell phone jamming.
That's a net effect of what was being prioritized in effective on program rehabilitation around compensation of employees and other programs. But when it comes to goods and services and temporary assets, we increased the allocation. So the 1.2 trillion is the net of increasing that budget and also decreasing the compensation moving. On the question of the budget cut, the department understands overall. When it comes to DCS, the other expenditure, when you look at our performance in the subject, mainly is on competition. And last year it was solely on competition. And if you then look at any year performance, we are too constrained in the we overspend it on the subject. Because if 1.85% overall, as an average inflation adjustment of the services and possible payment of capital assets. That's not what we pay for in the market for the inflation at number 10% or so on average for in the last financial year. So that's very important. It's very important. But if you look at the traditional services, it's almost a billion inflation. Now, if you take 5% extra, that's called the fine within the business. Because determination across local entities, across government departments, but if one experiences anything beyond what has been provided for, then find money to use it. So that's why for us the budget cut was one of the indicators of the budget cut are around goods and services, small portion on payment of capital assets, and another portion on competition. So if you then look at this particular overall outlook that we are self-financing for various projects within goods and services, that pressure for us becomes real. So for us, we're raising that in that context. and not saying we are not and have not understood the previous budgetary, no, are we not projecting currently under review for an expenditure. But I think it's going to be important to share that we then interrogate that under expenditure in a particular context for us. Given the reasons that CDC explained around our challenge on recruitment, retaining, balancing between the numbers of recruiting and the numbers that are needed to perform. So it's a real issue that communication is the main one. And through the program rehabilitation, that's where most of our communication employees under expenditure is an affordable option. That's really going to be kind of checked and also going to address their turnover. So that's the reason that we can to so for other budgets, we can use it. Of course, we need the other budget we are going to, we have to manage in it. Hence, the civil program also indicating that we will need all that decision taken and to continue in the areas of years of performance within the parameters of CBM, we shall then also continue to prioritize to areas that significant need as well.
Thank you. Let's just take another question. That's from your question.
Thank you, Chairperson Duhart. Maybe I might have been the weakest of all members, Chair. But I want to confess that I found the presentation not greatly useful. It has been difficult to push and pull what exactly the department is telling us. But nonetheless, Chair, I thought there is this issue that is becoming prevalent within the correctional service, that some water correctional service employees themselves are becoming notorious agents of crime. I wanted to check with the acting commissioner as to what are they doing about things that we are seeing as part of, you know, syndicate by the very same officials that are supposed to take care of, you know, prisoners, but they are the ones who are, you know, making sure that the sneaker is in. I'm sure there's an article that it should be in, you know, worrying them. So when I, last week or so, in one of the papers where police were moving behind one inmate who they were calling him to be a gang leader in jail, still continue to, you know, making sure that drugs are continued to generate money for this particular person. I would want them, because this is an ugly picture that it's picturing, giving a very bad picture to, you know, the very departments that we admire to look after those who have been sentenced. What is that you are doing with this kind of, you know, individuals that are not saving the cause that they are supposed to? And of course, it is a matter that, by Chair, it might not be enough for them now to deal with that. Let them find time to confront and come and tell the Select Committee as to what exactly is happening. Who are these people? Because this thing cannot happen, without the knowledge of your own staff commissioner. You should know that some of your own staff members are the key leader, the key, you know, towards these things that you are talking about. So it will be appropriate to say to us, how many people have you apprehended them having linked to this kind of behavior? How many of them have been, you know, taken towards disciplinary, because it might not even only disciplinary level. It should be arrest. They must be arrested because they are defeating the ends of justice. You know, want to say it in a very arrogant way, to say we cannot look helpless when people that are supposed to protect ourselves now becoming the agent of making sure that life becomes difficult for them. I've noticed why I'm saying the presentation has not been friendly. I'm sure even when they do the cut and paste, they forgot to cut and paste that at the Ethics Committee. They are saying intent to brief the Portfolio Committee. We are not Portfolio Committee. So it tells you that when they were doing the cut and paste, they were unable to cut others and put others into the, you know, the right position. So it is something that you need to be very careful that when you present to a committee of parliament, you don't expose yourself that you don't know who you are working with, or you're not aware of it. You can check it here. You will see that here they managed to cut and paste correctly. But here, you see, they couldn't cut and paste. They left it to be portfolio committee. We are not a portfolio committee, we are a next committee. And then the day it says the face is, make sure you prepare. Because I guess this kind of presentation, it should not be about acting commissioner, as if they must go to a strategic plan and lock themselves, make sure that they do correct and, you know, actually it works that they will spend the whole year. Because when you check at the presentation, it again makes our life difficult. If we were to say we are going to track them on a quarterly basis, it will be difficult with this representative to track them on a quarterly basis whether they comply with the very thing, you know, the annual operational plan. Because that should then say to us, at a quarter A, we would do this. No wonder then, Chair, many of the departments not excluding themselves, they would then, you'll see them at around February by March, stampede of workshop and taking people to expensive hotels because the money now is a problem. They failed to spend the entire, and they wanted to catch up with that particular. But if they put, you know, an annual operational plan that systematically tells us that in a particular quarter, this is what they are going to spend. At a particular time, and until the end, we will be able to track and trace and say, why are you not here? Why are you not, you know, performing this? I do know that, Chair, when you deal with issues relating to service, what do they call it, when they say themselves, what do you call it?
Government.
No, it's a normal wooden and stuff, I don't know what it is. Of course, there are instances where, as you are saying, people are leaving the institution on many reasons. Others, you are unable to stop them because. But the fact of the matter is, we should be able to say, come on, this was supposed to be allocation for the people that have, you know, moved out of the department. But those that are in the department, why are we still, you know, having a chunk of money that has not been utilized? So it tells you that when departments are doing this and they are afraid of being specific, so that they will want you to push under generics in a bush, they know you will never find anything. It will be a bush, you can't see anything. And then when you go and ask Auditor General will tell you that these people that are unable to talk to these things because they are so-called dark rooms. In the dark rooms is where they are even putting, I'm sure she will know, the financial officer of the department, that in the dark room when they are not certain of things that they must account, they just throw there, and when you go there, they say, we don't know. We have never seen, you know, a proof of whatever we're talking about. So I'm saying, whenever you prepare a presentation to us, make it simple for us to follow you, you know, and throughout your expenditure to say, this is where you are, this is how you have spent it. So we shouldn't be, you know, found wanting. Because the kind of presentation you are giving to us, you deliberately wanted for eyes behind it. Because we are not going to be able to say, out of what you have said, where are we? Yeah, I thought maybe I should stop here.
Thank you, Chairperson. You remind me something. Acting commissioner, I think if you that we need more efficiency on our members and okay, so don't need to reach this is Parliament. You feel that you need more time. Just say that I want to answer this question, need more time or something. But this is Parliament, to mislead the Parliament that will be in the problem. Thank you very much. Another one.
Thank you, Chapter. First of all, what I can say in this presentation, I wanted, because both presentations, financially and strategically, that's why I'm silent too much about the size of the project. I'm looking at the document here saying the department did not comply with the question. That's a comment from the Washington of the Public Finance Management has moved the transfer from capital and has disclosed below 32 of the financial statement. Yeah, the year 8, of course, multiple was 73 million. At the minimum age, I could not chase this person physically. As a result, I just rolled out on that physical on hand to the asset register. My question is, what is the CFO, what is the total value of the assets currently? Have you got in place updated asset register? Coming to this position, the human resource. This position here in the comment of the Auditor General, fund expenditures were not always fixed within 6 months. My question was, if they are funded for 10 courses, why they were not fixed? And second, current situation, how long these current positions have been vacant? Second,
no, no, she just wanted to call for the third one.
lastly, to present in the human resource, I wanted to understand because it's some of the input as much as available. There's got contradictions within the labor relations. In the condition of employment, there is a specific issue of oversight. Because this OSD, last year when we were discussing, although to yesterday when we were discussing, we said we are concerned because this OSD has got a discriminatory wage. Presentation. For instance, if it was 15 years, then come and test it. Come and just go school. Obviously, the person who has got the experience with the institution doesn't benefit in all of it. But the person who is just fresh from school or from training prioritizes. And I don't know, in terms of securing the training, the people who are in the institution going for the training, but they must be succumb in compromise with their position in terms of beneficiation, their remuneration. What about the notion? The people say, be quiet about the notion to do with that. I don't know why. Even the management is quiet about explaining the notion in the institution. Because currently, things corruption has just been good. 15 years of experience in the institution. Not to disappoint by the person who has had 2 years. That's very difficult. Exploitation of her work. I'm a creature. How is it designed? For instance, the issue on the separate of the OSD was introduced by the government in the negotiations. Honorable. Yeah. So, let alone the part of those negotiations, and we're surprised by the as a result, and product make most of our workers casual of that. Because you don't want to see all the money to go in, but you are 16 years old and you think they are money. But when you come to this negotiation, there was a part of the team that was part of the team.
Thank you, Honorable Manipuli.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is actually a follow-up. The HR response. To me, I requested the progress report of NPC, and the response was vague. Because those issues were long-standing. Your response is open-ended. What are the time frames? Because if the task team was established, much as terms of reference, and also the timeline and time frame to be able to ensure when I'm going to finalize it. Even if you go to bargaining chamber, currently there's a process of bargaining, but it is a time frame that by the end of this time it should be finalized. So I'm just wanted to check the time frame, because now the response has been given, it seems as if there's little progress, impressionary progress has been done with regards to the issues of MTT. Further note that, it seems the department has not had a strategy how to deal with the issue of the region. I hear the Arab minister say that the assurance is committed that you're going to deal with it. To address the vacancies raised this year. But the HR presents to us a figure that brings to me. And also to, because there are other stakeholders, which is the DPSA that is also going to be taken on board, and also the other the Department of Health or other professional associations taken on board. But to me, that there is no strategy how we're going to address it. So we request that can you be able to take us on board? Is it a plan where the department is going to sit down and be able to say, we have some job strategy to be able to address this issue of the vacancy? Taking into consideration the exit, the number of vacancies created because of the resignation, the retirement, and also those who are dismissed. So also the retention strategy. How are you going to ensure that you are going to retain the professional you are currently in the system? To mitigate the fact that there's the exit that is taking to the department currently. The other issue is between HR and the people. You raised the issue of saying that maybe the other sector that you can explore by making service of in the form of consulting by this professional, either the social workers or the educators or the psychologists. That's one to check because of it will mean that there will be deviation from concentration now to different things. It is no longer being concentration because it will be form of consulting. the constraint is there already under goods and services. It is shifted from compensation to goods and services. So I'm just saying that the explanation that you have provided to us now is the contradiction that the department has confronted with the challenge of goods and services. Whether there's a money that is not under utilized of the compensation. Now you shift from this compensation to this. So can the department acting commission, can you go back and in a room like the coaching said, this all officials, the team that is here, come up with a strategy to be able to ensure that you address the vacancies. It's critical to us. Because of vacancies affect the retention, affect the demand, retention, all. Because I think it's throughout, as much as under the issue of the distribution of 100%, we don't know which department, under which program it is affected. So I'm just requesting that with regards to be able to realize the NDP are feeling safe, the community are feeling safe, and are safe, and they are not fear the element of crime in their area. It's not being realized. I want to believe that why the correctional services is there. It's not we're being told, it's now the correctional services. Able to rehabilitate it. But if you don't have the workforce, how are you able to assist us? This government will ensure that we need to ensure that you want to realize the NDP. Okay, I'm just getting the ladies to come up to the earth to ensure that when they are ready to come to this committee to present to us so that we can be able to ensure they were confident. Don't wait again for the international year. Next day they come here and present to us, you are from the APP, the drug bank, here's the budget, you're going to do this. We want on a quarterly basis. Come present first to us the strategy and also the progress on a quarterly basis, how they are able to ensure that they are realizing the strategy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you.
Just the honourable one concerned about the honourable chairman. You are going to, I suspect, laugh at the randomness of my question, but I am quite interested in the development and rehabilitation programs. And the other day I was travelling through Colesberg and I came across such a program that was busy travelling from Pretoria to Port Elizabeth. And they said they do this biannually, twice a year. I was just wondering, and perhaps this is something to do with the budget, but I would just like to get some information as to what does that program specifically entail, if you know about that program. I just came across them and I found it quite interesting. It was a large group of serious offenders that were busy travelling from Pretoria to Port Elizabeth. If I can get more information about that.
Thank you very much, and let me also take an opportunity to welcome the presentation. So I just want to make a follow-up first. The acting commissioner, last year when you appeared before the committee, if not mistaken, you're still acting. Till when are we going to see acting being arriving at a particular destination when they're saying people are starting to be in time? That is my first question. Two, you got a question, although I want to make a follow-up also on it, specifically on the smuggling of cell phones into prison. You said, or you alleged, maybe that just to give you a benefit of the doubt, you alleged that some of the prison orders are directly involved in smuggling of cell phones. I just want to check, was it tested? If it got tested, what are the consequences? In one slide, there's a presentation made where you are talking about rooting out corrupt activities within the department. And this one specifically, acting commissioner, I would be glad to get a report back around this one. There's an incident in Bizamakhati where one of the prison warders exposed particularly around recruitment in that project. Unfortunately, as we speak, the same person who exposed corruption, nothing happened. Instead, as we speak, he's been suspended for the mere fact that he went on air without using his designation as the prison warden, raising the frustration that this matter could not get an attention. I think we are public reps. We represent the aspiration of the communities out there. If the same people who are supposed to combat crime and corruption are becoming the victims, what message are we conveying out there to our community? I'll be glad, Chairperson, if you can get a report in terms of what happened in Bizamakhate regarding the recruitment that was alleged to be corrupt, and regarding reports that were made by the prison warder who reported to several levels this alleged corruption. I think that as we speak, he's suspended. Four, reports in terms of quarterly reports from the internal audit. There's been no way that you'll be able to address your internal challenges, particularly around audit. For as long as your internal, your audit committee is not really getting in touch in terms of you, particularly around reporting. In terms of the Auditor General, it's clear that there's no report in terms of the audit committee in your presence. Four, Chairperson, employees performing remunerative work outside prison. What is it that you are doing? And the rate of people that are performing that outside the scope of the law or the police. The last thing from my side, your fruitless and useful expenditure is registered 1.1 million. Your irregular expenditure is registered 187 million. What are the contributory factors? And what is it that you are doing as a department to really curb this challenge, particularly around fruitless, useful, and irregular expenditure? Thank you, Chair.
I forgot to say, maybe speak at the issue of the former one. I request the city council to see the human in the all the zones. And those who don't have sent the city council, is there any blame to see the future from the city council?
Commission? President, thank you very much for the opportunity again, honorable members. Maybe I should try and explain our environment. We work under a very difficult environment where we're expected to do miracles. But it is the work that we have committed ourselves into is to rehabilitate those that have offended society, which is a very difficult task. But amid that, Chairperson, the vital constraints that we experience from year to year that impact on our ability to retain special skills. Chairperson, I'm sure you will be aware that throughout the public service, the establishment of departments has increased over a number of years. And ours, which was at 45,000, got decreased as well. But the challenge with regard to environment are the fact that we are dealing with people that have taken upon themselves to undermine authority. All people that are in our facility have committed crime. There's no one that has gone there from a Sunday school. All of them come from court, where it has been proven beyond reasonable doubt that we have murderers, we have rapists, we have people that belong to syndicates, and that environment, Chairperson, causes that those that work in those facilities, like your social workers, your nurses, your psychologists, are not eager to stay in that environment. And once there are challenges or there have been an incident where any one of them has been involved, you then see a lot of them opting to go
a difficult and challenging environment, and one would like the community to really take cognizance of that. But on top of that, we have a serious challenge of not having enough manpower. And as has been indicated, we have a lot of resignation, a lot of some people are dismissed, others are opting for early retirement, and so on. And that is what is happening in the entire public service, but in particular with ourselves, with the police, and with the Department of Education. Now, as a department, we have taken a decision with the CDC, especially in finance, CFO, the CDC, HR, CDC Strategic Management, that because we do have turnaround strategies with regard to finance, with regard to entire management, we need urgently a turnaround session, turnaround strategy for HR, when we address recruitment, when we address specialization, when we address human resource development, and when we address conditions of employment as well as job retention. And once we come out of that endeavor, Chairperson and members, we shall provide to the committee what we think would then be the turnaround strategy that would assist us in the short term, medium term, as well as long term, how we address the challenges. The OSD is one of those challenges, Chairperson, and it's happy that the Member of Parliament is raising and the Member of the Select Committee. Because when Correctional Services opted for the OSD, it was at a very late stage. I think we were one of the last departments to participate in the OSD. And once the department had taken to say, this is what we think should be done with regard to recognition of service, the executive that was in Correctional Services, the executive in Department of Public Service and Administration, the executive in National Treasury, then did not take time to what our proposals were and change that. That is why, Chairperson, as we sit now, from time to time, Labour takes us to court to say, but you are not implementing the OSD in the spirit of the OSD. Ourselves were in a serious problem with that, and we tried with the CDC Mukwena and the ministerial council to say, we understand the frustrations. Let us then sit down and find a way out. And one of the way out, which at this point is a change of heart in the DPSA, to say, let us then see how we can then resolve this OSD issue among ourselves as government employees, and then we take it to Labour. At this point, I think there is consensus agreement on the many issues that are raised in the ministerial testing, one of them being the OSD, the other one being the overtime. So, Chairperson, if we come to a final decision on that, I believe we shall be able to address overtime, and we shall be then be able to address the OSD. So we say that endeavor will enable us to move faster with the challenges that we have. I would like to respond to some of the follow-up issues that have been raised. Really, I think maybe my colleagues would also help me as we achieve together. It is so, Chairperson, I'm not some sarcastic, because we do have statistics which we can provide to the portfolio committee, I mean to the next committee, with regard to officials that have made them guilty by smuggling with offenders, providing unauthorized items to offenders. We can provide that, and we can provide even the detail of how far we have gone with our own investigation and our disciplinary inquiry. So that we have. But also importantly, we want us to underline, Chairperson, the fact that not only officials bring contraband to our facility, visitors, family members that visit their offenders at prison, Chairperson, bring contraband. They smuggle data, they smuggle hard drugs, they even go to the extent of smuggling firearms so that offenders can shoot their way out of prison. So all of this we can provide to the committee in a report that would indicate how we have fared the past 2 years or how we have fared the past 3 years. We will then be in a position to provide that to the committee. But what is important as well, Chairperson, not only officials, not only visitors, but even offenders, as they go to court, they get this contraband, they smuggle it, they hide it in their body, Chairperson. And once we have moved forward with our aim of
has been put to us. The one that I wanted to respond to, because Mr. Smolle will respond better, is the one of offenders that need travel to from Pretoria to Pretoria. It was a choir competition that was normally held on a year basis, etc. And offenders from all regions in the country, both six regions, so they send a COVID test to a particular place that we have decided upon as management and as part of their rehabilitation. Because that's also art and culture. Chairperson, I would ask Honorable Mohapi to provide me with the details of this official at Dizamakate, where it has been alleged that this official has provided information of on corruption and now is suspended, so that we can then request the region to provide us and the head of it with all of the information around that recruitment and the allegation, so that we can then ourselves go and find out what is the true fact and to give you that message. I would appreciate that, Chairperson, is providing for that. But the other questions I think can.
Thanks, Commissioner Chairperson and members of the committee. Let me deal with the issue of OSD, and thanks for pointing out some of the issues that we have within OSD. It is correct that the delay in implementing second phase of OSD has resulted in the unintended consequences where new entrants into the labor market or the department essentially come on par with the people that have been there. Now, that is directly as a result of the ongoing dispute to resolve the second phase of OSD, because OSD was meant to do two things. First, it was meant to introduce new salary scales to acknowledge the importance of the various disciplines, not everyone within the public service, but disciplines which were said to be critical in the justice value chain, and corrections was identified as one of those. Now, the second element to OSD then was meant to say for people to acknowledge the experience, and it was essentially meant to say, so for people who would have been long in the system, they would have benefited more than people who are new in the market. Now, because we have not resolved that, essentially it means that a Mokoena who has been there for 30 years essentially is at a particular salary level. And a new learner comes into the system because Mokoena's issue of the recognition of experience is still hanging on or is still being, we are not making progress in respect of it because of the ongoing dispute. It essentially means that Mokoena and Mudise would be essentially on par, whereas Mudise essentially just came in relatively late within the system. And that is quite regrettable, and hence our resolve to have the matter resolved as speedily as possible. Because once we do resolve that, you will immediately see that those people that have been there in the system much longer, will basically, there will be that gap, which was in essence meant to have been the overall plan in the first place. Unfortunately, there is that deliberate discrimination in the issue of OSD itself, because there are certain transversal jobs, HR jobs to take as an example, general administration jobs such as your cleaners, your messengers and so on, they are not included because they were not made, they are not regarded as being a critical, so to speak. And in essence, that is how the collective agreement is couched, so that it only incentivizes those people that are within the jobs that are defined within the scope. It is also correct, member, that LRA does make provision for overtime. What I was meant to be dealing with was to say, if we, in our negotiation, we try and buy the issue of overtime, it is not meant to say that we do not recognize overtime as a provision within the LRA. Currently, we do make provision for overtime. There are instances such as Operation Bala where we would, based on operational imperatives, have to pay overtime. The only issue that we have to do, or the only requirement is that
there must be prior approval for that overtime, so that you keep the numbers rather manageable. But I also need to take the members of the committee into confidence that before the introduction of the 7-day establishment within the department, you had members essentially working between Monday and Friday. Saturday and Sunday were automatically given as overtime. The wage bill at that point, just on overtime, stood between 1 and 2 billion on average. And parties, including organized labor, realized that that situation is not sustainable, hence the introduction of the 7-day establishment, because it was also meant to curb the excessive overtime, because it created a situation where members, in essence, were supplementing their income with overtime, which obviously, if it's not managed properly, will lead to unintended consequences. On the issue of the strategy of overtime, I take note, and what the Commissioner is saying is that overall there will be an overall HR turnaround strategy. But my request is that members, the issues around specific interventions on recruitment will be included in the Minister's speech on the 20th when he delivers his budget. But I do have to concede that the bottleneck arises as response lending. We have advertised a lot of these positions that are currently vacant have been advertised. The only issue now is to dedicate time and to say to people, within the next 3 months, you do nothing but to focus on processing these applications. And we believe that in the same manner that we have campaigns around Operation Vala, where we basically stop everything else and we focus on that, time has now arrived for the department to consider that, where we say, let us halt all other processes, perhaps starting security-related processes, and have everyone, per region, focusing only on ensuring that they set up panels, they do the shortlisting, because that is the only bottleneck right now. Once you have cleared up that and handled the responses, then essentially you are on your way to filling positions within acceptable periods of time. In terms of the point that was raised around introduction of consultancy versus the unintended consequence that you might then have goods and services budget being run away. We do currently have a dispensation where we have a standard contract within which or through which we employ people on contracts. What we'll be looking at in order to advise that, and thanks honourable member for raising that issue, what we'll be looking at is essentially to say to DPSA, is it going to be illegal and in contravention of the applicable DPSA regulation for us to have flexible contracts, which would still mean that these people are employees of the department, but they have a special dispensation so that they are not treated as consultants. Because it's something, hence the overriding theme being flexibility in that regard. Because versus having a person to come in for 10 hours a month versus having no one at all, perhaps the lesser of the evil would be to have a person, provided we don't flout the applicable GTSA regulations. On the issue of the commissioner acting, I think the commissioner will respond to that. Safe to say that interviews have been conducted and the process is being handled in the ministry. And in terms of work, employees performing work outside without permission, it is an ongoing concern for us, because you do have instances where there are a number of instances. I think the former CFO would provide a report where we do have reports coming from other government departments where their supply chain people pick up that A. Mukwena working for correctional services is working and has had a contract with us. And we do follow up on the because we do have a regime in place where if you want to apply to do work outside, you have to go through the approval processes. On retention, we do have a retention policy, and we will be able to provide over the past financial year of the numbers of officials that we have had to counter offer whenever they would have wanted to leave the department using the current retention policy.
Thank you. the issue of acting, the three apex positions, the National Commissioner, the CFO, and the CDC Strategic Management, as well as the RC element. On all of those, I can report that the three CDC Strategic Management, the National Commissioner, and the CFO, interviews have been conducted. We are at a far stage, in fact, in terms of the CFO, the CFO is here. In respect of the CDC Strategic Management, together with the National Commissioner, these are processes that are being handled within the Minister, and the Minister is alive that he needs to ensure that he finalizes these recruitment processes shortly.
Chairperson, maybe just on the question of the concern of the Honourable Member about the offenders that were transported. Chair, maybe just to say that rehabilitation is not only taking place inside the walls of our correctional facilities. The specific incident that I'm assuming the Honourable Member is referring is on during April, we had an offender choir competition which was held in Port Elizabeth. And it is correct that currently we are working on a biannual basis for that program. We also have other national events for offenders, for example, athletics, soccer, netball, rugby, just to name a few, Chair. And Chair, there's also sports that are happening, part of the rehabilitation, for example, in communities where communities allow to come into our facilities or even the offender team to go and participate in the community. Chair, but I can assure the members that we do have a very strict criteria how do we select the offenders that need to comply with the certain security compliance. Also, if you do not share offenders that we classify in the maximum category, those that already have proved that they are at least complying with all the conditions. And Chair, I can then also assure the committee that the event that happened in Port Elizabeth, all those offenders traveled safe there. There were no incidents at Port Elizabeth, and all of them traveled safe back, and we did not have one incident in terms of whatsoever kind, Chair. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to respond to the question from Honourable One about the effort. Yes, indeed, DCF has the effort in place, but you will recall that for the past 5 years, it has been a matter of qualification, and we have focused on this particular item for this financial year. There has been improvement in terms of the fact that processes leading up on equipment basis. There's the reconciliation that has been performed on a monthly basis and coordination. But there remain challenges in terms of capacity with respect to an effort management process which has not been entrenched throughout at the regional level and correctional center level. And that's one of the turnaround strategy items that we are looking at for a long-term process. From a system point of view, there's still a problem with the logging system. This interface with a bus. So those issues are at a transversal level, so National Treasury has to assist us on that part. But however, manually we have compensatory controls manually so that we, for purpose of reporting, we're able to present fair figures at the end of the
we have done an assessment, and our estimation in terms of cost for implementing the CCTV is about 2.1 billion rand. So all the fee that we don't have, so we're currently sourcing that amount and also trying to phase in as a priority of the centers where we require the CCTV.
Woodlands, Wasteful, Regular Food.
Thank you. on irregular expenditure and for expenditure. What was done in the past financial year was to try and speed up some of the investigations, because it doesn't matter how much for us the principal is putting the department, if it's in one rent, if it's put up in the school, we just do and report on it. But now once it has been reported, we need to investigate and confirm the allegation whether it is original or fruitless, and then indeed from the investigation there's a confirmation, then there must be tested in another process. So the bottleneck is then analyze our financial statements as being on the touch of also the investigation. That's where our bottleneck is. So what we then did was to say to regions, allocate at this investigator. And if a case involves a component within the region, allocate across regions. For example, if it's the head of the case within supply chain management, we then appointed investigators from the nearest region, which is in our case, the Gauteng region, to come and investigate these number of cases and give us feedback. But I must indicate that in certain most instances, some investigations need to refer back due to the quality of those investigations that really the investigation report is really facilitate in decision making, and in certain instances the investigator would say it is not irregular, whereas the information evidence does point to that case is irregular. So in those instances we need to reassign, and in certain instances we have to seek help from our inspectors, and at some point we have involved the IU, but later on they indicated that yes, it's not within their mandate. But it's one of the things that we have. The challenge change, I must indicate the completeness of the two irregular expenditure and process in terms of our own cases at the moment. In certain instances, officials do not report these cases and find that the figure pays a financial profit. What we then did to try and mitigate that the risk and challenges in the system, we sat down last year and had a workshop with our inspectorate division and went through the processes to say when they do the inspection, it doesn't matter where they do the inspection, then this is how they initially detect whether any expenditure is irregular or fruitless and wasteful. So we then went through a process with them for them to update their own inspection too. So we thinking that probably the more they do this and the more coverage, then at least we will close the gap of people not reporting and getting on time rather than for some of the cases and getting them from the process. But for the matter is that for the 2014 financial year, there would be a decrease at the level of the irregular, and mostly it is price quotation what we currently are experiencing, where people don't get the recourse. So what the policy says, in an instance when you cannot get the recourse, then must provide a reason why, and attach that as part of the submission documentation for all the people. So that's what we currently are experiencing in terms of the category of irregular. And on fruitless, mostly it is the no pitch up. You don't pitch up for traveling, the accommodation part for the flight to get funded, and also the attendance of courses where people say people are supposed to attend and confirm, and maybe try to pitch up for various reasons. But the issue is then following through those reasons and getting a decision made by the relevant delegated authority with regards to condoning that or not condoning. And if you're not condoning, then you must recover from the relevant official. So we try to address this question.
Thank you very much, members. Our members, I think we are aware that after we need to consider those reports. That's why I referred to you before. I was worried about the core of policies here.
had the Queen Commissioner that the Astropolis Water Conference in that. Keep your, you can actually, you cannot try and come in that because you are building a country. And so that there's this issue that all the services are affected. That's it. What is the court? What is the court? You go to court, you go there, the corruption is that like that. So when we are saying, how would the APC, we want you to open your eyes and make a thorough investigation before you come here. Because she does not have a bad habit. When we come here, we perform what we have complained and we have here, honorable habit, and said, we are on the people. And you are the servant of the people. Whatever reason they are doing, we should come to you and say, what is happening to you? I said, I hope you will come back to me, you are our compassion. And we hope that South Africa is going to be better to aid going forward. And it's a pity that the NEC is the minister are not here. Because this issue of holy roots and creatives in this country is strong. And we need to create a monitor and oversight. To the committee members, thanks to my colleagues. Thanks for giving this vibrant discussion. Comrade Mahati, for selecting your questions were very profound and gave that element of building a better person. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Commissioner. But we are not invited to the party again.
I think that's
We reserve our right to vote in this regard.
I want you not necessarily to say whether you agree or you disagree. I want you just to say we have dealt with it procedurally as expected. Then we're saying let's agree that in terms of what has been presented to us, we have concluded the deliberation, and indeed that's what we've done.
Chairperson, perhaps this might make it a bit easier for you. Although I like having you in a tight spot with not having your quorum here today. But as far as it concerns, and I want this minister, as far as it concerns that we have heard the report, and that the report was presented to this committee, yes, that has happened. But as far as whether the report should be considered, that part, we abstain and reserve our rights to vote. So, and as far as it's whether we did hear the report, yes, we did. But as far as report should be considered goes, in that regard, we reserve our rights.
Without making the statement, I think we are dealing with the budget, and the highest decision making body in terms of the budget is not the state. It is the council. Where voting should take place procedurally is at the level of the council. In this case, we are merely saying we have considered the report based on the presentation, because that is why if you check how the report has been presented, it is saying the briefing. So as I'm saying, we can't really resort to a stage where we are saying a vote for or against at the level of the committee, unless we are on the higher position.
Chairperson, I agree. But as I said, if it's ministered that yes, we agree that we heard the report, and yes, that the report was tabled in front of the council or in front of the select committee, as you said, then I don't see what the problem is. The only aspect in which we reserve our right is with regards to the consideration of the report. So if all you need is a yes or a no, did we hear the report, then obviously our answer is yes, we did hear the report. If that's what you want, there you have it. We all agree we did hear the report. But with regards to the consideration, we reserve our right.
But KZN is not with you. I'm only one from KZN.
No,
you need five province now.
No, let's not debate. I think we understand. Chen Kunek is one person. Chairperson,
can I just get some clarity on the wording? Because the wording is problematic. It says that the next committee on security and justice, having considered budget voting, not having heard, having considered. Having considered to me implies that there must be some form of a decision.
No.
Okay, well, the wording is very is very confusing. But, okay, fine.
Thank you.
And we put
now let's proceed to it's the same.
Yes.
The report of the Select Committee on Security and Justice on Budget Watch 23 of the Department of Police 2015-2016 dated the 30th May 2015. The Select Committee on Security and Justice having considered Budget Watch 23, Department of Police of the Department for the report that it has concluded its deliberation there.
Agreed. Chairperson, same comment to be noted in that regard, please.
Head one, report agreed. Of the Select Committee on Security and Justice on Budget Book 18 of the Department of Forest and Services for 2015-2016, dated 13th May 2015. Select Committee on Security and Justice having considered Budget Book 18 of the Department of Forest and Services, a response that it has concluded its deliberation
there. Will the same comment be made in that regard?
Absolutely. So, honourable members,
hands off. Thank you very much, Daniel, for sharing this short meeting open and just indicate that the purpose of this meeting is just to get the report as discussed in the previous meeting. We are having adoption of COPTA report, adoption of GPSA report, and asking them if there's not any other funds about it. And I start with the adoption of COPTA report. We are saying the State Committee on Corporate Governance and Traditional Affairs, Youth, Women and ICR, having considered the budget vote for an annual performance plan 2015-16 of the Department of Corporate Governance and Traditional Affairs and the Department of Traditional Affairs, it's not necessary to increase the traditional affairs. The report that it has concluded is deliberation level. Can I report be considered?
You notice the same chair?
What is
that? That's the same chair. We've taken a decision.
What is it that can we see?
Abstaining?
We are abstaining from
your recommendation. You are part of this meeting. You are part of it. Right, if you are part of the meeting.
I have a right to abstain. I have a right to abstain. I told you, came to then again, one hour.
The Select Committee on Corporate Governance and Traditional Affairs, Youth, Women and ICR, having considered the budget vote 10 and the annual performance plan 2015-2016 of the Department of Public Service and Admin, and all that it has concluded is the deliberation of the law.
Again, Chair, noted.
We'll just write notes.
No. You have no lack of a chance. You know, Chef.
You must indicate that we did clarify.
Yeah, and we did say we have paid it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.